I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Alrighty, hour number two here on Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network. Jump into the hoops here. Obviously, lots to hit. Circle back to the football coming up next segment. Good guest for you. And certainly a timely one. We're going to have Janu Smith on, the outstanding young tight end for the Tennessee Titans, who are in the news today for reasons you don't want to see. But we roll on, hour two, from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studio. When you want the ability to adjust your loan options in real time, Rocket can. Twitter at Teak and Tierney, get your thoughts on whatever we hit in the first hour, the Lamar Jackson, Patty Mahomes stuff, and obviously, even if you want to jump in on that Chris Bryant stuff, Teak and I really disagree on that. I view him at this point as a complete as a complete disappointment. I mean, outside of the last 5 years, he's just not the player he was supposed to be. He was an uber Mike Trout type of prospect. I don't know what's wrong with him, but that answer
a change of scenery helps it?
I think it might, Teak. I think it has to.
Yeah.
You know, I said before it was within the context of the segment, so I didn't want to really elaborate too much. But no. You know, when he says, I don't give a bleep what the fans think.
You cannot say that, dude.
Yeah, but even if you say that, there's a little wiggle room. Then he said, "Let me repeat it." He said, "I do not give up like this. I do not give a bleep what they think."
Yeah.
Kind of tough to come back from that.
A small city, you might be able to apologize and get away with it. Chicago, not so much, man.
Right? I hear you. All right, Teak, we'll get to the NBA here again. So Doc Rivers is out. It's interesting. You and I obviously hit this yesterday. It broke during the show. Mm-hmm. A couple of different reports. One that I think is really interesting here is from Sam Amick, who been around the game for a long time. And basically reported that Ballmer was incensed and embarrassed, and that this was not a mutual parting of the ways, that, you know, Doc Rivers got pushed out.
Yeah.
You know, that Ballmer expected more, didn't get it. He was embarrassed by the collapse. Boom.
Yep.
Makes it, maybe in the eyes of some, an impulsive switch. Maybe in the eyes of others, like me, maybe more of a necessary switch, given Doc's inability over basically a 20-year coaching career to finish out teams that he's supposed to finish out. It's happened on three occasions. He's coughed up a 3-1 lead. But now it's funny, because as much as I think it was time for Doc to leave L.A.,
yeah,
the even though it seems like Mike D'Antoni's pretty deep into the process with the Sixers, number one, I'm going to ask you, do you think, and the answer is they apparently are, but I want to know if you think that they should.
Yeah.
Do you think that Philly should maybe tap the brakes on Mike and
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it, BT.
But do you think that Doc Rivers would be the answer in Philly?
That's
what this is all about, getting the answer.
It's hard to know. Because when we heard, let's jump back real quick before we moved forward to Doc, to the Mike D'Antoni. We talked about this when it first kind of happened. It almost felt like Mike D'Antoni told Houston, because it wasn't foregone that they were firing him in Houston. It was kind of like, all right, we just agreed we're going to part ways. Mm-hmm. And then Mike D'Antoni, like a week later, is the potential, is the next head coach of the Philadelphia 76ers. And I remember we talked about this. It was like, huh?
Yeah. Wait,
right?
Mike, you're not supposed to dictate this.
Like, right, yes, but not only
you're
that.
You're supposed to be fired, Mike.
But also, like, are you sure that's where you want to go and have this, like, launch three-pointers and score at the rim?
With a point guard who has an aversion to letting them go?
That's right. Was he taking eight in his career? You know what I mean? So it just didn't feel like it was the right fit, Mike D'Antoni, in Philadelphia. Now that there's another option, we have to move forward and then talk about how Doc potentially fits here. Mm-hmm. And to me, this is from the nobody former football player, just a basketball fan. It feels like Doc, if these are the two options, it feels like Doc is the better fit in Philadelphia, because he's had big men before. He's had, you know, he's had to play different styles of offense other than the one style we know Mike D'Antoni wants to play. And it's not like this is a new thing for Mike D'Antoni because he had James Harden and Russell Westbrook. He's been doing this, you know, his entire career. And in fact, it's one of the, you know, principles that other teams use, like the Golden State Warriors, but they just don't fully implement it like he fully implements it. Mm-hmm. And so I think he's of a one-track mind coaching, and I don't know if that's going to work in Philly because he doesn't have the personnel to do what he wants to do. And at, what is he, 77? 70, whatever.
Talking about Mike?
Yeah.
Not 77.
Are you sure? I thought he was older. I thought he was much older. We'll have to look it up.
I think Mike, he's not 70. But he's not young, but yeah, he's not exactly. Only 77. I'll get it for you.
But my point is, even if he's 70.
I would say early 70s.
Even if he's 70, yeah. He's not changing his ways. You know what I mean? It's not like he's you know, 45 and learning
69.
In the innovative ways in which basketball is played offensively now. He has his way of doing things. I don't think he's changing it. Doesn't matter his age at this point. But Doc Rivers, even though he's similarly aged, he's up there in age, feels like he's more adaptable. I think more importantly, those guys will relate to Doc. And not because of he's black. It's just because he's like he has this coolness about him that I think fits for a team that needs to find its way, which is what Doc has been good at. He hasn't been good at winning a championship, as we know, but he's been good at helping teams find their way if they have good talent.
Mm-hmm. All right, a couple things to unpack there. If I'm the Sixers, I would not hire Mike D'Antoni. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't hire him.
Yeah, it doesn't fit to me.
I wouldn't hire him because, you know, you say how he's married to his methods, which is understandable. To an extent, but he is 69. Mm-hmm. He's not going to change, and those methods have not brought back a championship.
Nope.
You're looking for a championship. Doc Rivers has won a championship. Now, also, I just went through it before, we've chronicled a lot of missteps in spots where Doc Rivers' team is supposed to seal the deal and be better and not wilt, and they have. But, you know, with Doc, you get a lot of things. You also get a blue-collar toughness. I'm not saying that Mike's – one thing about D'Antoni – you know, because they score 135 points a game and they launch 53s, and you think that they play, you know, an aesthetically pleasing, which they do, a style that's almost, you know, less about toughness and more about precision, and you can almost construe that as being soft. That's not the case. Mike D'Antoni's a grinder. Mike D'Antoni is not afraid to chew you out, and he's got a backbone. He's not just like, all right, guys, here's the ball, do whatever you want. No, he's married to his philosophies, and when you deviate from that, Mike's going to let you know. But I do believe strongly, I don't think it matters that much in baseball, except maybe in like two or three cities, and New York is one of them. Boston would be another. Maybe Chicago, that's probably it, and Philly. But I do think in the NBA, and certainly in the NFL, the coach, the personality characteristics of the coach, for the most part, need to be in alignment with the personality characteristics of the city. And Doc Rivers is more blue-collar than Mike D'Antoni, and Doc Rivers would be a good fit here. Now, let me throw something else out to you, because I don't know how motivated they are or if Doc would even accept the job under these pretenses or whatever. But let's say they bypass Doc, and let's say that, you know, they're too deep into the D'Antoni stuff, and in their hearts they're like, you know what, this feels right, it feels good, we respect Doc, and yeah, he's going to give us pause and make us reevaluate, but D'Antoni's our guy, and we're sticking with it. Okay, I would respect that.
Yep.
Remain married to your convictions. Just hope that you're right. What about if they are really committed organizationally, and at this point I think they should be, to dealing either Ben Simmons or Joel Embiid, and you and I would both trade Simmons and keep Embiid, even with the injury history. He's just especially a unicorn type of a player.
Yep.
Why can't you try to... Tell me what this is going to sound nuts. If you're hiring D'Antoni, why don't you trade Simmons for James Harden?
Yeah.
Play James Harden with Joel Embiid.
Well, that would be interesting.
What do you think?
Because I remember
I'd have to look at money and draft picks and measure it all up, blah, blah, blah. But there's a way to skin the cat if you want to make that happen.
Didn't you say this when the season was over, they have to move on from James Harden? I think you did.
I did.
I feel like you did.
I did.
And if there's a destination that kind of makes sense, it would be to Philly, because especially if Mike D'Antoni gets that job, because Mike D'Antoni and James Harden are made for one another.
Mm-hmm.
If there is a coach that's perfect for a player, it's D'Antoni with James Harden, because he lets him do exactly what he's great at. Now, he's had issues in the postseason, and I think part of that is because there hasn't been a reliable big man who can create. They've had good big men, but you know, guys that are just, you know, Lob City 101. That's mm-hmm. in rim protectors. That's it. There's no one that you
Clint Capella can do that. You're talking about Houston, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, they've had a couple guys. Like, sure,
guys that. But if you say, all right, sit on the low post over there and create something on your own, a la Hakeem Olajuwon, they're lost.
Yeah, but you know, to be fair, I'm with you clearly. But how many teams actually do have that now?
No, but Joel Embiid is that.
Well, he is.
That's my point.
But he likes to be outside.
Yeah, but he won't have to be. I don't know if
with D'Antoni, he'll be outside more.
True.
Shooting threes.
But don't you remember a year ago, maybe it was 2 years ago, 2 seasons ago, I should say, BT, Joel Embiid said something, and it was like, it was very passive aggressive.
About Simmons, right?
Yeah.
About the way that the style.
Yeah, and how he had to be outside. He's like, I don't like being around the 3-point line all the time. But he has to be because there's nobody else that can do it. Mm-hmm. Like he's probably one of their most effective 3-point shooters, and that's not saying a lot. But I remember it because it caught me as odd because all big men want to shoot now. But what Joel Embiid is really good at is just bodying you and beating you in the paint. And so, yes, he may be put outside in Mike D'Antoni a lot, and he'll increase his 3-point, you know, opportunities or attempts and maybe even his makes. But I think at the end of the day, what's plagued the Houston Rockets with James Harden is that some team will figure you out. They'll figure out how to make you inefficient from 3-point range. And then what? Right? There's no other option.
No.
With Joel Embiid, there will be another option if James Harden should come to the Philadelphia 76ers.
Provided.
Now, that's crazy to think about that even happening. I mean, that's a heavy.
I'm throwing something wacky
out there.
But
that's a heavy speculation. But it would make the 76ers interesting as hell.
But
it really would.
The only thing that would worry me about that, you know, you say, well, you know, when things dry up, as they invariably always do in the playoffs.
Every postseason.
With James Harden. Yep.
Every one.
Yep. Then you have a real option in Embiid. And other nights, you know, Harden's going to have to run second fiddle when Embiid's in the middle of a 37 point, 16 rebound, 3-block game. And then James Harden's going to learn how to hopefully modify and dial back his game. And here's where I'll give Harden some credit, even though I'm not a James Harden fan at all.
Mm-hmm.
I went so far as to say that I'm getting bored watching him play.
Yeah.
Because it's the same thing.
Yeah.
It's the same thing. It's an ill-advised step. And when he hits in there pretty, I get it. And his skill level is through the roof. But he's never brought something new to the equation. You know, for the last 7 years, it's been, let me get to the rim, barrel-chested, which is effective, but get to the rim or throw up, you know, a 25-footer after 9 pump fakes and a step back and whatever it might be. And, you know, the great players, Jordan came back with a fadeaway. Kobe came back with a fadeaway. You know, you have to add to the repertoire, and I don't think that James Harden has.
Mm-hmm.
My fear is that Embiid, if this ridiculous trade ever came to fruition, which probably won't, but it's still interesting to talk about. I don't know if Embiid would remain mentally and physically engaged through the inevitable peaks and valleys of James Harden's games and shot selection.
Yeah.
I mean, that could be a problem. I can see them being...
Where he becomes, like, one of them has to be the observer. Right. And he's like always the observer for a game or a week or whatever it may be. And then they get disengaged and then there becomes friction.
Yep.
Yeah. That's a real thing. I think that's with anybody with James Harden. You got to have a certain.
But especially Embiid. He goes to Instagram quick.
True.
Certain guys deal with it better than others. True. I don't know if he would deal with it great. I don't know.
Well, and again, this is a speculative trade.
It would be
interesting. But what we do know is both of these teams need to do. I don't think the Houston Rockets are getting rid of James Harden. He's just too big of a draw.
Mm.
Like he's an MVP. He's a, you know, scoring champion.
He's also a depreciating asset who's going to win you nothing.
It's a good point.
Nothing.
It's a good point. He's got big numbers coming up down the line.
Yep.
And yes, he's going to put seats in the arena, but are you ultimately winning anything?
No.
Unless you completely change the style. I'll be interested to see who the next head coach is of the Houston Rockets and what that, you know, it's not going to be what Mike D'Antoni has been doing for the last 5 years. So
no.
I'm interested to see. To be honest with you, James Harden doing something else, right? So it's not repetitive and
if
it's
he's
not
capable.
Predictable. That's what I want to know. I want to know.
Is he adaptable?
Is he adaptable? Can he be?
Yeah, that's an interesting question.
Because I do think he's a really good player.
He is.
It's just a matter of, all right, really good players have many layers. Like LeBron, think about LeBron James's layers. Mm-hmm. He's been everything from, you know, I'm only scoring at the rim, I'm a bully in the paint, right, to now he's a fadeaway shooter. And for at some points, he all he wants to do is take 3-point shots.
Or be the lead facilitator, like Magic Johnson.
Lead facilitator. That's right. I hear you. He's so very versatile, and that's amazing. And in order to be considered great, you have to be able to be that. James Harden, he's a good scorer and he's a good assister. All right, but what else? And so I'm interested to see who becomes the Houston Rockets' next head coach. You know, just to see if James Harden evolves,
or if he
stays the same.
Ty Lue.
Ty Lue would be good for, I think, him.
Because D'Antoni's going to get the Sixers job. Like, the reports are,
yeah,
Embiid signed off on it, or at least gave him that, maybe, you know, yeah, gave granted, hey, listen, I'd be down with this. Mike's interested. They'll crunch the numbers. I believe in whether it's 2-3 days, whatever. Maybe they don't do it during the finals to obscure the finals. But I really think Mike's going to be the coach of the Sixers. And I don't think the 76ers will win anything, because I don't think Mike will ever win with that style. But now you've got this merry-go-round of interesting jobs. Wow, okay, does Ty Lue hop over a chair and take over the Clippers? That would be interesting. Where's Jeff Van Gundy? Now you're hearing Jeff Van Gundy, who hasn't been on a bench in, you know, just about, you know, a little more than 10 years, whatever it is at this point. Does he slide over to that job? Yeah, I actually read this morning that Brent Brown might get a look at that job.
Oh, really? Talk
about the incestuous nature of the NBA coaching ranks. Brent Brown? I mean, come on. There's no way you could hire Brent Brown for the Clippers.
I'm trying to think any college coaches.
No, it's too late.
That would come up. Yeah, yeah. Probably, you're probably right, but I'm just saying, any college coaches that are available.
I mean, Billy Donovan would have been an interesting one for some. Maybe Thibodeau if he hadn't signed on with the Knicks. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, there's a dearth of coaches right now.
That's right. Much
like in the NFL next season, unless you try to lure back Jim Harbaugh, et cetera. You're going to be rolling the dice on guys like Eric Bieniemy, who might be a superstar or might be a colossal flop. Is he bringing Andy Reid's playbook with him? Is he bringing Andy Reid with him? Is he bringing Patty Mahomes with him? I don't know. So, I do know. The answer is no.
No.
So I don't know exactly.
All of the above, no.
I know. I don't know what kind of coach Eric's going to be. Damn well deserves a shot.
Oh, he does.
Oh, there's no doubt. He's going to be a coach in 2021, I firmly believe. But there are some interesting situations, but I don't feel like there's any perfect answers.
Yeah,
as much as I don't want to use the word criticize, that's almost too strong, but as much as I strongly acknowledge some unforgivable, in the basketball sense, failures on Doc Rivers' resume, I think Doc's the best available coach out there.
No, you're probably right.
I really do.
You're right. He's got a championship. You know, Mike doesn't. D'Antoni doesn't.
Yeah, and I don't think Mike ever will.
Yeah.
This guy's trying to get a championship. Almost had one last year. I mean, boy, can you imagine if the Titans won the championship a year ago? Janu Smith, their tight end, will join us coming up. But the big story clearly is what is a disruption to their season. How long? I mean, with a couple of COVID tests positive. So the Titans have some different issues to tackle, and we'll tackle them with their tight end next on Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio.
When you need auto parts fast, O'ReillyAuto.com is just a few clicks away. They offer convenient options for you to get your parts quickly. You can choose to have them delivered right to your door with free shipping on most orders over $35, or order online at O'ReillyAuto.com and pick up for free at your local O'Reilly Auto Parts store. They'll even bring it out to you curbside. You can even have your battery tested free of charge while you're there. And if it needs to be replaced, the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts can help you find the exact battery that fits your vehicle at a guaranteed low price. Like SuperStart batteries exclusively at O'Reilly Auto Parts, designed to meet the electrical demands of today's vehicles. Get dependable power and performance from a SuperStart battery for your car, truck, motorcycle, lawnmower, boat, and more. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts or visit O'ReillyAuto.com today. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day.
CBS Sports Radio's toll-free lines, 1-855-212-4227 here on Tiki and Tierney. It's brought to you by Geico. And you know that right now Geico's offering an extra 15% credit on car, motorcycle, and RV policies. That's on top of what Geico could already save you. So what are you waiting for? Visit Geico.com. to learn a little bit more. All right, Tiki and Tierney here, CBS Sports Radio. We're going to get into the finals coming up next. We spent some time on on the coaching carousel, D'Antoni, Doc Rivers, etc. But obviously LeBron center stage with the Heat tonight. We'll get into that next segment. But this is a nice treat, and it's going to be a timely conversation for sure. We've had him booked for a couple of days, but looking forward to it. His name is Janu Smith, and really is, Teak, I mean, he's an emerging weapon. We saw him with the touchdown grab in the playoffs last year against the Ravens. He's already got three this year. He is each year the numbers have gotten better and better as they fed him more and more. And Janu Smith is with us here on Teaky and Tierney CBS Sports Radio. Janu, how you doing today, man?
What's up, guys? How you doing, man?
We are good, man. Congrats on the start. Really, congrats on the finish last season, and congrats on the start this year. You guys are 3-0.
Appreciate it.
But we heard the news about what's going on around the organization. What did they tell you all, and what was your reaction to it as your Titans team has shut down for the next couple of days?
Well, man, that's what you said. They told us that we'll be shut down for the next couple of days. And, you know, they're just, you know, taking every precaution, and, you know, make sure that, you know, that everyone in this organization is safe, and, you know, that we just, you know, man, we just kind of, you know, playing it by ear, and, you know, just, you know, seeing what's the next steps that we can take. But in the meantime, we just shut down right now, man. So I kind of know as much as you guys.
Yeah. But let me ask you this question, though. You guys are still tested every day, correct? I know that was it was debated, and then you ultimately were, and now you've been doing it for the entire season, right? You guys are still tested every day.
Every single day, man. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, that's got to be a pain in the butt. But so at least you'll know. At least you'll know sooner rather than later. And the question that BT and I had as we were talking about this, because apparently you're going to be shut down for the entire week. You got to do everything over, you know, Zoom or, you know, virtual meetings. How do you prepare for a week of football if you're not actually on the football field? That's going to be odd, man.
Yeah, man. That's just one thing about being a pro, man, you know. We've been doing it, you know, this whole off season, you know, just, you know, with these Zoom meetings. And so we're kind of already used to the flow of things. And, you know, we're just going to have to adjust and adapt, man. And, you know, it may be a little unorthodox, but, you know, we might be playing it Sunday, so we just got to prepare like we are.
Yeah, but here's the thing.
You're going to be all right playing on Sunday without practicing?
Well, that's
practicing.
What I was going to say. I mean, it's one thing to be prepped up on the meetings, Shadow, you know, and I know you guys have dealt with this in the past, but imagine not putting on a helmet this entire week and then coming out of a tunnel and trying to make plays on Sunday or even Monday if they push it back. Like, to me, it's one thing to be unconventional. To me, that's a little dangerous. Would you guys even want to do that?
Man, I mean, I can't speak for everybody else. I know I just can only speak to myself that, I, you know, ball is all I know, man. You know what I mean? Like, growing up from the age of 5, man, I can wake up and go out there and play in the churchyard, you know what I'm saying?
I like
it. And that's just what it's like to me, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's why I love the game so much, because, you know, I just have so much fun and enjoyment out of it, man, you know what I mean? But
yeah.
I don't know, you know, the protocols as far as, you know, what's the league going to do, what are they going to decide? I don't know. I don't have no clue. Like I said, I know as much as you guys, but if we are playing, man, we just getting prepared. So, you know, we're staying prepared, but most importantly, staying safe. You know what I mean? And, you know, just, you know, staying, you know, quarantined and, you know, at homes with our families, man. And, you know, just taking, you know, every safe protocol that we can.
Hey, you let us look into something real quick. Your mom never let you skip church to go to watch football games, did you? You had to go do it in the parking lot.
No, man. Yeah, my mom was definitely she definitely put a lot more things over football, man. Like,
that's
she,
good.
She definitely. I remember actually when she first sent me away to Florida, I had to live with my aunt and uncle. I had to keep
when you went to college.
No, my mom just, you know, wanted, I grew up in Philadelphia.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Gotcha.
Yeah, so by the time I was 14, my mom had sent me away to Ocala, Florida with
my
aunt and uncle.
Keep you out of trouble.
When she sent me away, man, we kept the Sabbath, and that was just something that we believed in growing up in the house. So that means that Friday nights was taken away. Like, I couldn't do anything. Like, I couldn't go out to the movies with my friends or anything like that. And we honored the Sabbath on a Friday, you know, growing up as Christian folks. So we honored the Sabbath on a Friday. Some people do it on a Sunday or a Saturday. You know, everybody's a little different, but that's just the day we honored it. And Friday nights, man, was Friday Night Lights. So for a moment, like, I had to tell my coaches, like, I can't, like, at the time it was basketball season, I couldn't play in games. I was, you know what I mean? I didn't even understand it completely, man. And I was kind of sick, man, but it was something that my mom had made me do, and I had at the sacrificing things at a young age, man. But
that's pretty awesome.
I guess God recognized that because I'm blessed now.
You're right, man. It made you a better man, right? At the end of the day, that's absolutely. That's what moms and dads are supposed to do, make you a better man.
Yeah, man.
So let me ask you this. We're told of Janu Smith from the Titans every year, as I said before, the numbers ticking up a little bit from targets to receptions to touchdowns, first downs, yards, yak, everything, you name it. As you play fantasy, he's a guy you want on it. You're starting to know that by now. So I wonder what the mindset – take us back to, if you can, the beginning of last year when you guys hoped to win and, you know, correlate that and contrast that maybe to the beginning of this year where you guys now expect to win. What is the difference in attitude with the Titans?
You want to know, man, the same core values that we stood on last year, the same exact core values that we stand on this year, and nothing's changed. I think that the amount of trust and accountability that we hold, with one another, man, and on those core values and the standard we set for ourselves, it's a trust factor within that. So, we just got to continue, man, to believe in the foundation that we laid in for this team, man. And, I think that, guys are just buying in completely and just believing in that. And, you see the progress. It's so early in the season, you know what I mean? But, we are 3-0, and 3-0 in this league is
3-0.
What I mean?
Yeah.
3-0 in this league is 3-0, man. So, it's still early, but you can only be 3-0 right now.
That's right.
So we're taking advantage of every opportunity, man. But I won't even say much has changed, man. I'll just say that, it's just a sense of belief that's, starting to come around this organization, man. And, we're just laying that foundation now.
You know what I want to add? I want to follow up because, and Teague, I know you're hearing the same thing. First of all, you come across as a really humble young man, which is awesome. Very appreciative of what you've had and what you've worked for and what you've earned, which is great. I think that, we watch the Titans play, and whether it's in the vertical game, whether it's, I almost get the sense that if they fed you, and I know that they don't, but if they fed you, maybe like Kelsey gets fed or Kittle gets fed or Mark Andrew gets fed or a few of the other tight ends with big numbers, that, your numbers would be there with, I think, some of the best tight ends in football. I'm sure you feel that. Number one, do you agree with that? And number two, without getting away from the team concept, which I know you're married to, do you wish sometimes you got the rock a little bit more? Because you guys don't always take a ton of shots downfield.
Man, in the humblest way, man, I'm just being honest, in the most humblest way, man. Like, we 3-0, so we doing something right. What I'm saying?
Good answer.
And that's honestly, man, like, I can't complain. You know what I mean? Like, I know that, my individual success will lead to the team's success. So, for the greater good, whatever needs to be done, that's what I'm going to do. I'm a firm believer in that. You know what I mean? Because, just if you think about it and break it down, if the team is successful, that means that players are successful.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And, when players are successful, the numbers got to be there somewhere. You know what I mean? So, I'm going into my fourth league, and, I haven't had the targets that those guys had. And, I'm starting to definitely get, more looks being tight end one now, man. And, I'm just trying to take advantage of it.
Yeah, no,
every
and you,
opportunity I get. You know
yeah,
what I mean?
And Janu, you learned from the best. Delanie Walker was there. You were an understudy for one of the old heads in the league who, what, 36? He was still getting it done somehow. But you have this quarterback. Ryan Tannehill seems to have found his way. Obviously, Derrick Henry is a monster. But a lot of this is on your coach, Mike Vrabel. And I know Mike because I played against him, and we're peers in that sense. But he seems to have a firm grip on success. What's he like to you all?
I say this all the time, man. Braves is more than a coach. You got some of these guys, man, that they just care about the football relationship with their players. And, Braves wants to know how's your family doing. You know what I mean? Like, that means more to the guys than X's and O's. You know what I mean? And to have a guy like that who cares about your life more than he does, about your football life, man, you got to – you kind of carry more of an edge on your shoulder to play for this guy.
Yeah.
And that's on any level, from Pop Warner to high school. I've played this game all my life, and I've seen how a team is successful. And I think that, you know, for one, believing in the man that leads the team. So you got a guy who genuinely cares, man. Guys want to lay it on the line, for him. And, you know, that's what we got from a guy like him, man. He's just, you know, all-around great person, you know, great character. One of the best coaches I've been around, one of the smartest guys I've been around. He's a defensive mind. All my life I've been around offensive mind, the coaches. And to be around a defensive mind, you kind of get to see a game from a different perspective and, you know, learn a lot more. So, you know, it's great. It's been great to be around him, man.
Dude, it's really been good having you on the show. Tennessee's kind of carving out a little bit of a national existence the last couple of years. It's good to see. It's a great town, as you know. It's Janu Smith, their tight end. And hopefully we see you guys either Sunday or Monday against the Steelers. I know you don't know yet. And if not, based on what's happening with the COVID test and you got to kick it back a week, whatever, you got the Bills in the weeds. So that'll be a nice primetime matchup on CBS. Really good having you on the show, man. Thanks a lot, buddy.
I appreciate you, man. Thank you guys for having me.
Be good. Stay safe, man.
Ultimate team guy, huh?
Yeah. No, you got to be. You don't have to.
Not everybody
is.
Yeah,
you do. When you're 3-0 and you're a third round pick from FIU, you're the team guy. Plus, he learned from one of the great team guys ever in Delaney Walker. Yeah. Yep. So.
All right.
Nice kid, man. I like him.
Yeah, I do too. Humble. Good stuff. Good head on the shoulders. No doubt. Let's get the update from Max. See what he's cooking up. And then after that, all right. Listen, Lakers overwhelming favorites. But would you bet against the Heat? And Butler, and Hero, and Spoelstra, and Riles. This should be fun. We'll get to the NBA Finals next after Rax Update, which is right now. Here's Rich. Sunday, it's an NFL on CBS doubleheader. Brady's Bucks taking on the Chargers, or an interconference matchup as the Colts and the Bears hook up. In Game 2, mostly we get to see Cam and the Pats in Kansas City for a meeting with Mahomes and the Chiefs, who looked flat out, straight up, unstoppable last night. And coverage begins with the NFL today at noon Eastern, 9 Pacific, only on CBS. Although I'm sure Belichick is already deep in the lab trying to cook up a little preventative measure that that the Ravens could not cook up last night. Should be fun. Tiki and Tierney here, CBS Sports Radio. All right. I mean, tonight is, you know, I told you before, I've got baseball on now. Obviously, there's four games. I can't wait for Bieber Cole tonight as a Yankee fan. Even just as a baseball fan, it's a sick matchup. The presidential debate is tonight, the first of three. Got to watch that. Of course, the NBA Finals. I want to play this. This is really, what a great sports day. Just so much going on. Eric Spoelstra is something Teague and I were communicating about before the show. Arguably the most perfect encapsulation of his team. Listen to Coach.
A lot of guys in our locker room have been told that they're less than. They're the anti AAU or new age analytics where you're trying to figure out what a player can do statistically. These guys just want to compete. They just want to roll the ball out and play and compete and fight for it.
You've been on teams like that. You've also been on teams that were the exact opposite of that, Teak, in your career. When you have a team that is self-motivated and self-polices and has a pure passion for the game and heart and discernible toughness and aptitude, a little chip on the shoulder. I mean, what does that feel like, and how far can that take you? Well, obviously, it can take you to the precipice of a championship, but can it keep going?
The reason that that's important is because think about what the Heat have done so well over the course of this playoffs. It's getting to the fourth quarter and be solid and be better than they have been the entire game. And in fact, over these last couple of series, they've actually, you know, in aggregate been outscored in the first three quarters, but it's those fourth quarters, they dominate. And it's because of what Eric Spoelstra was talking about. Like, they're blue collar. I mean, yeah, they work hard, they're blue collar. A lot of them had to fight just to be where they are, right? To be accepted as, you know, great players in on the respective ways to the, you know, to the top, to where they are now in the NBA Finals. And so as a result, like, they do the little things like extra conditioning and, you know, take those extra shots and whatever it may be. And I think all of them are that way. Like, there's no diva on that squad. At the end of the day, will that help them beat a team that on paper with two superstars and LeBron James and Anthony Davis have a, you know, significant advantage? That's to be determined, because I think, you know, skill ultimately shines through. But this Heat team is easy to like because they bust their butt and they never like lay it down. Now, even when they do, like for instance, that what was it, game three, I believe, in the Milwaukee Bucks series. I think it was game three that they lost. They got pissed off about it. You know what I mean? This is the best team in the East, and they lose after Giannis gets hurt, and they're upset about it. Not like, oh, we still got it. They were upset, and that tells you the character of a team that, you know, is not taking anything for granted, even though, you know, here they are in the NBA Finals.
It's amazing. You know, I was telling you yesterday about how the Miami Heat truly are one of the great franchises of our lifetime.
Yeah.
When you factor in when they were born, they came into existence in the late 80s. They've already won, you know, three championships. They're back trying to get a fourth one here. It's amazing what they've accomplished. And what the commonality with the great Miami Heat teams is that they're always paced by a selfless, highly motivated, tough leader. Now, most teams that achieve this, you know, to get to this level and achieve whatever, you can say that about. But not always. But you think about the three guys, and the three that I'm thinking about, Alonzo Mourning, the first time, Dwayne Wade.
That's right.
You know, who was always hitting the deck and attacking the rim and sacrificing, you know.
Took a pay cut.
Took a pay cut as well. True.
Seriously.
And now you're mixing Jimmy Butler, who is as old school as it gets. My only fear is this. You know, from a matchup point of view, I'm going to throw two questions at you. Number one, who's guarding LeBron?
Well, it's less about who's guarding LeBron.
No, it's not. You'll see the rhythm here.
Go ahead,
who's
go
guarding
ahead.
LeBron?
Yeah,
the answer is probably Crowder.
Crowder.
That's not good.
Bam could do it.
Okay, then who's guarding AD?
And that's the problem.
That's why I have Bam on AD.
Yeah.
And
even if
Kelly Olynyk gets some more minutes? Bigger?
Yeah.
Savvy? At least taller. He might have to play
a little bit
more.
But think about how, like, the athletic advantage that AD has over, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh, aware.
Look, if this was the NCAA tournament, the Heat have a serious matchup problem.
Mm-hmm.
Now they have, like, they're deep and they're good, right? You hate to use these metrics, these analytics, but it matters in some regards. Like the plus minus of their like top eight. It's all positive. Like they're all good players. There's no liabilities there. And you know, the Lakers aren't necessarily that, but they have two superstars and then some supporting pieces who, when they're on, you know, you're not gonna have a chance, right? If Rajon Rondo's scoring 20 points, I mean, game's over.
Yeah, it's
or Kyle Kuzma even comes out of the woodworks and you know drops 18 or 20 on a night. You're cooked as long as LeBron and AD are on. You got to assume at this point, you know, LeBron's gonna be on, and you got to assume that AD will as well. The Heat just, they don't have the horses to ride with them. So it's got to be, I mean, they have to wear them down. The problem is they're small compared to the Lakers, who have, you know, one of the biggest teams in the NBA this year. I'm talking about just like size-wise from LeBron and AD. LeBron's point guard. He's 6'8". You know what I mean? You got Dwight Howard who comes off the bench, and Kuzma's not a small guy. Markieff Morris, we haven't seen a ton of, but still, he's an asset there. Mm-hmm. They're a big team, and the Rocket and the Heat are not a big team.
They're not. And the other aspect about the Heat, you know, they're more interchangeable. You know, one night, you know, you're going to get Hero going bonkers. One night, Robinson's going to be in the zone. One night, Dragic's going to be pumping in 25 or 28 points. The problem with that, though, or at least the answer from the Lakers' point of view, let's say remember when Hero dropped 37 previous series. If they're playing the Lakers, LeBron checks them.
That's
like,
right.
LeBron could say, I'm taking him for the next 5 minutes.
Yeah, I got him.
And conceivably, Tyler Hero might not even touch the ball. if Robinson is draining threes, you know what? All right, that's it. LeBron, go stick him for a few possessions. Just quiet him down. If Dragic is, as he, you know, he's such a sage, crafty veteran. If he's getting to the rim, as he does with such, you know, deftness, and he's so adept at the left-hand fit, he's good. If he's having one of those moments or one of those runs, you know what, LeBron? Guard him. Fight through the screen. Take him up top, 25 feet away. Don't let him get to the rim. Make him give it up. And I just don't see that versatility. Not a lack of want, not a lack of toughness, not a lack of resolve. I'm going to ask the question again to America. Because if you believe that the Heat are going to win that series, that's very different than believing that the Heat could win the series.
Yeah.
I believe that the Heat could. I believe that the Lakers will. And I believe that the Lakers will, based on these two questions. Who's guarding LeBron and who's guarding AD?
Yeah, it's a great question.
And that's
point.
A question that you ask yourself almost every series the Lakers play, but other teams have different types of physical answers that could at least make you think a little bit.
Yeah.
And you know, make LeBron have a bad game or two.
Yeah, the Heat don't have those answers.
Or an inefficient game.
Yeah, the Heat don't have those answers.
They don't have those answers.
At least not for everybody. Here's an X factor, though, to consider, BT.
Okay.
Like, this is such an incestuous final, because you think of Pat Riley's connection to the Lakers. You think of LeBron's connection to the Heat. We forget that Frank Vogel was also heavily involved in this, because when the Heat first went, they played the Indiana Pacers, and Vogel was the coach of that Pacers squad. And if Eric Spoelstra was the coach of LeBron James, and he's still here with the Miami Heat, is there a notion that because Eric Spoelstra knows LeBron well, it's been a while, because, I mean, mm-hmm. what has it been, 5 years now? When was that? I think it was.
It's been more than that. No, it's about five. That sounds about right.
Yeah, about for the last time he was there. So he's known him knew him well. Like, yeah. he rode some championships with him.
That's right.
Is there a chance that Eric Spoelstra knows, I don't know, a weakness, knows the secret sauce, knows how to get to LeBron? Because it's an intangible. It's like a non, you know, measurable that's going to show up in a box score in any way. But is there any chance that Eric Spoelstra can coach his way through LeBron? I don't know the answer to that, but you got to think about it, right? Because he knows.
You know, it's an interesting angle. I know what you're getting at. You know, the intimate relationships often yield the most vulnerable, susceptible.
That's right.
Part of one's personality, or in this instance game. I think that Eric Spoelstra can coach his way into a series.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if he can coach his way to a win just based on the matchups. Now, listen, Jimmy Butler is going to try to defend LeBron. It's not going to be a lack of desire.
Yeah. I don't know how long that lasts, BT.
I hear you.
He's just significantly bigger.
He is bigger than everybody. Jimmy Butler, try to guard him.
Jimmy Butler's tough as hell. Tough as nails.
Yep.
But I think by the third quarter, he's worn out, man. So you're going to have to take turns. And then you take turns, and you got to pull somebody off of whoever to guard LeBron. Now, AD, now you got to deal with AD.
That's what I'm saying.
It's just a matchup nightmare for the Heat.
I don't
put it past them to figure it out, because like Eric Spoelstra is a very good coach. We know this.
He's a Hall of Fame coach.
But it's just on paper, I look at it, it's like, it doesn't matter. It doesn't line up, right? You try to line it up, it doesn't line up.
Yeah. You know, the one thing, like, if the Heat are able to jump on them in game one tomorrow, like, just steal it, then, you know, they'll be able to theoretically cash in on that. Like, other teams might not be able to do it. Like,
yeah.
That would galvanize them even further. I know we'll talk about this more tomorrow, but to me, it's I think it's got six games. I think the Lakers are going to win the championship. We'll see. We'll see if LeBron delivers. We'll deliver some more NFL talk. That's next, third hour. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.